Now being recorded. So welcome to the Solid Waste Advisory Committee for Benton County. We're glad to have you here this morning. It's a pretty light agenda. Let's go ahead and start by having introductions. So Bill, will you go ahead and introduce yourself? And muted. Bill, you're muted. I know what I'm
saying. Sorry about that. Hi, I'm Bill Annity. I'm Regional General Manager for DTG Recycling.
Thank you. Christina, go ahead. You're here.
I'm here. I'm Christina, the civil engineer for Benton County, taking Matt Mahoney's place today.
Lori?
Good morning, everybody. This is Lori Schaefer. I'm also with DTG Recycle, and I'm in Kennewick in Richland.
Tammy.
Good morning. I'm not sure if my, is my sound working?
Yes, it's good.
Oh, cool. All right. I'm with WM. Sorry, I couldn't be there today.
Is there anybody else online I've missed? Because I just don't see your name up on top. Okay.
I think you have everybody.
It's you, Chuck.
Chuck Torelli, City of Kennewick.
Martin Nelson, City of Kennewick.
Chucky Mayfield, Benton County.
I never know what to say. Cindy Blumel. I'm located in Prosser. Citizen.
Representative, yeah. Thanks.
Tony Searles, Lamb Weston.
And Rebecca Francik, Basin Disposal. So, pretty light agenda. Can I have, has everybody seen the agenda? And if so, could I have a motion for approval of the agenda?
Okay.
We have a motion to approve for Mr. Searles. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second.
By Mr. Torelli. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Okay, the minutes are approved. Public comment. Does anybody have anything for the good of the order?
I do.
Really? Cindy, go ahead.
Seems like I always have something to say. I don't know if you know, and maybe they asked for your help, but Prosser recently did a recycling survey. And I was at the recent city council meeting where they explained why they did the survey, which was dual purpose. They're working to communicate with the community better. I don't know if you're familiar with what happened in Prosser, but that was the reason why we have a new community council. The old community council didn't communicate very well with the city, with the residents. And so now they're working hard to make that. So they wanted to figure out if they could do a survey and how effective it would be. I can say it was very effective. When I was there, they said they had 85 respondents. It was 10 questions. It was simple. I thought they put it out in enough places. Of course, I picked up on it because I'm interested in garbage. But they it was recycling. It was a clunky survey. Did they contact you for any help?
They did. We gave them price points. I do want recycling at this price.
Yeah, and that was a bad question, I got to say, because I'm a big recycler, but I found it hard to put the amount on there because they were saying, would you pay $10 extra? Or would you pay $20 or no amount? I mean, any amount would be good because I want to recycle, which is kind of me, but I still put down the $10 one. I put the lower limit because I'm just not sure curbside recycling is for us. They didn't explore other options. It was a clunky survey. Anyway, but they are doing something. The council is interested. They're interested in communicating with the residents. I'm interested to see that they're going there, but I think we should have a bigger discussion because, again, I'm not sure curbside recycling is the best thing for us. Okay. You'd have to probably tell me more about that, why you think it's really wonderful or whatever.
Well, actually,
anyway.
Tammy, because I know that you do recycling in Kennewick, I know that it might be interesting just to have a discussion that we would give to the public. So our options are we can do curbside, we can make it mandatory, or we can do it by subscription, or we can keep having people take their own stuff to drop boxes. And those are the options. Did you have any other options that you thought would be better than that? Or
I don't really know what the answer is. I just know what we've got isn't too good. And there is the council seems to think that there's a big interest in recycling because maybe since the last time they even revisited it, the makeup of the city has changed somewhat.
Okay. What about you, Tammy? Do you have any other options that you offer?
Same options as you. We're doing bins in Kennewick right now. We get lots of requests to transition to carts, which would make us fully automated, which would be great for the drivers' backs. And then the drop-offs. So we've worked hard on the McDonald's drop-offs on 395. We were getting a lot of contamination and people sleeping in bins and this and that. I think we've got that pretty cleaned up. And then we take recycling at the transfer station. So those are the ones I'm aware of.
Okay. I would say the two biggest challenges for anybody who's doing recycling is contamination, because if you're putting flour in your cookies and somebody puts cornstarch in the flour, the cookies don't turn out. Well, it's the same thing with recycling. You contaminate the glass, the plastic, the whatever, it just doesn't work. So that's the biggest problem. And then the second problem, I have to say, Richland, West Richland, we don't have any Richland people here. I cannot tell you how many people from Prosser tell me that they take all their glass down to Prosser and recycle it for free.
Down to Prosser
to Richland.
Yes.
Well, Richland citizens are paying for that.
Yes.
And they're paying for the weight. And I'm thinking, well, sure, it's nice of you, Richland, to do this for everybody. But I would say our biggest discussion with the public is, we can recycle if you want us to, and we will set it up. Do you know you have to pay for it? The drivers don't work for free. The trucks don't run without putting diesel in them. The trucks themselves cost money. And then you have to ship it all the way across the state to a recycling facility. So you've got all those transportation costs. When you get it there, it goes through a sorting machine. So they charge you by the ton for that. And then they sell it. So if it's a positive commodity, they give you money, but it might not be enough to offset the cost of collecting it and picking it up and shipping it. That doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do. It doesn't mean there aren't costs on the other end that we're not aware of. So I'm thinking of glass. I don't know where sand comes from. You know, I don't know if you're saving some beach somewhere by recycling glass versus mining it fresh. I don't know that data. But it does cost money to recycle. Every time you handle it, touch it, somebody processes it, there's a cost added to it. And so that's, do you have anything to add to that, Tammy? That's my biggest mission in life, is to say to people, yes, we can recycle some things, not everything, but it costs money. Just like if you go to buy something at the store, it costs money to buy that product. So, but which brings us to this product stewardship thing. So we'll get back to that later. Anything else, Tammy, that you can think of?
I'd be surprised if Richland doesn't start taking driver's licenses or something, because it's a heavy glass is a heavy, heavy cost. So.
Yeah. Okay. Any other public comments or comments for the good?
Well, I was going to say that West Richland is the same survey, and overwhelmingly, people aren't willing to pay the extra cost of recycling.
Richard, I can't hear you.
Oh, I said West Richland did the same survey, included in our survey, and people aren't willing to pay the cost of curbside recycling. And I'm not quite sure how much contamination we're having in our drop box. I haven't looked lately. But the overall aspect is, what's your overall goal of recycling, and what's your motivation? And the net positive of recycling from a rural area is very low. And only for commodities that have a good return on it, such as aluminum cans and cardboard and things that are relatively easy to recycle or self-recycle, such as composting. Those are the benefits for semi-rural and Kennewick might feel that they're not that rural, but they're pretty rural. Richland may be a little bit more. I'm not quite sure which one wins on density. We lose our density.
Hmm? We're denser.
We're denser than Richland.
Mm-hmm. Hard to Richland. But I mean,
we're about half the density of Kennewick.
Yeah, that's because you're all rich people out there.
They count the farm.
But, you know, I think the hardest part with Riverside and Tammy, City of Kennewick loves it, and but it's educated recycling, right? So telling me or telling my wife, don't recycle shiny paper kills us, because we spent years throwing away shiny paper or, you know, Christmas wrappings. We'll recycle that because we're heroes. And so finding out you're supposed to throw it away, you just kind of choke, you know, like, ah. And glass, I mean, holy moly, it's like, I got to throw it in the trash can. And my wife is like, well, let's save them. We'll figure out something. So we're not recycling, but we're not throwing away anymore. So it just, you know, but it's the educated recycling that's the hardest part.
One of the most interesting facts I found out about was the source of PCBs in the Spokane River with recycling of paper because of the ink.
Oh.
The colored ink has PCB precursors, and so you got to figure out where is it best to trap these entities that we use for positive aspects. But anyway.
So what I can tell you from the legislative arena, there is everybody in this area except for Pasco and Richland are exempt, but there is composting going to be required by 2027, not compost, yard waste. We are all exempt. Richland's not exempt because they have compost. They have a compost facility. Pasco is exempt because our nearest compost facility is Spokane. But as soon as a compost facility is built, we'll be in automatically. Styrofoam is illegal to do after June, so that's out.
Now, is that not just the take-home containers? That's more, there's styrofoam ban is...
What I read is there was a styrofoam ban, and so I don't know if there were exceptions to, Tammy, help me out, medical, like, if you...
There's some exceptions to, like, meat. Like when you go to the grocery store and they have the meat on top of the styrofoam, that's exempt, and a couple other ones, but like the packing peanuts, those are out. Any of the cups and serveware at restaurants is out. There's quite the list. So,
and I had to remind a local restaurant we were there on May 31st. I said, tomorrow this is illegal. She was like, what? They'd never heard of it. So I'm like, how do people find out?
I would assume the Benton Franklin Health District, wouldn't you, Tammy? Who does?
It's another unfunded mandate. Sorry, not to be political. So, you know, let's have the health district do everything. And, you know, they don't get any additional staff, anything like that. I read somewhere, I don't know if Ecology's on the phone, but this is like, you know, customers reporting on their favorite restaurant when they're having inappropriate serveware. There's actually a online form you can fill out to report your restaurant. So I guess if you want to do that, you can.
The Stewardship Council, I know the paint people came to talk to us about paint. So there are manufacturers of things that are difficult to recycle that are like Sherwin-Williams, not Sherwin-Williams, everybody that does paint charges an extra 95 cents a gallon, and that 95 cents is supposed to be used for them to collect and take paint that isn't being applied to your house or whatever, and be reconfigured for reuse. So there is a, what do they call it, extended product responsibility, EPR. So there are things going through legislatively that are requiring manufacturers to start taking responsibility for things, which we all hope that happens before car batteries start showing up in our place. So there is movement, but it's slow and it's expensive. Everything costs money. And so, for instance, this light group that wanted to have a place to put lights, the question is, okay, they are making money off every light that's sold, I assume, like paint, where you charge 95 cents, but if you charge 95 cents on LED lights when it's mercury lights that are the problem. I don't know what their funding mechanism is. So anyway, just know that that's another group that's looking for a home which we can talk about when we get to the MRWF updates. Any other comments from the public for?
Just one general comment, and that's one of the topics that's in our plan is education and outreach. And my recommendation, we've talked about this in the meetings in the past. To me, it would make sense for this group to spend a little bit of time coming up with whatever the top three messages. What are those things that are either the most important or the lowest hanging fruit or something, so that we could say, all right, are we going to focus in on plastics and say these numbers you can't recycle? Or maybe it's specific topics about paper, or maybe it's something else that, but yeah, it's a my recommendation is that this group sets something, recommends the county, and the county says, all right, we are going to fund a message that covers a specific topic for 2024. We do kind of a saturation of that message for the year or something, and then maybe 2025 is a different message or something. I know that I'm not supposed to pollute, because when I was a little kid, there was an owl that was
right
on the TV.
Yeah.
And kids don't know that owl today.
Same with Smokey the Bear and
sure.
So fire safety.
And there are national messages, and this isn't something that the county would probably have to spend a bunch of time and energy with necessarily. We just figure out what's important. What are the two or three places that we want this to show up? It'll be websites, maybe a message that goes out to the radio. What's the one or two sentence statement that goes out to the radio stations? And maybe there's a social media thing where a college says, oh, hey, here is a pre-packaged flyer that can show up on your website that covers this topic. I don't think it's something that we need to spend a lot of staff time on.
But just to comment on that, there is a nonprofit organization called the Recycle Partnership. And they, we work with them a lot, as do many other companies across the nation. They already have campaigns. You can borrow, especially public entities can borrow all of their graphics, their messages, and all of that. So I can get you some contacts for that, or we can discuss it at a different meeting. But there's, you know, full-blown campaigns already, so it's an easy lift. And then we've done a lot of research on cart tagging and messaging, and making sure to have a single message on a cart tag if you're trying to get someone to change behavior. So there's a lot of consumer-based messaging and how to move the needle on getting the best recycling possible. So I don't know if we want to set up like a separate meeting to talk about education, or what were you thinking, Martin?
I was just thinking maybe in the next agenda, we just say, hey, let's everybody come with your ideas and thoughts, and let's do a little brainstorm. If people come with resources, maybe some flyers that they've seen somewhere else and some topics, maybe we can make some progress. And the other piece of this, and this is something that I would love to hear from the waste management groups, and that's how do you make recycling more feasible? Well, one way is to figure out how to get more recyclable materials that actually have some sort of market value. Can we get more of that in early? Does that make recycling make more sense from a business perspective? Does it potentially take some of the cost risk away if you're trying to move a program forward from a, you know, taxpayer perspective, separate from the utility rate? Are we going to have to financially support recycling because it doesn't support itself well? So where is the partnership there? That's my question. Is cardboard, even though it's going up and down and maybe it's not very high, is that one that is routinely higher than some of the others? I don't know. And so I think it'd be good to have that a part of the discussion. If we're going to try and educate, and we're also going to try and get people to recycle, maybe we're going to try and, if Kennewick goes to from little hand carts to big wheel carts, there are dollars involved. And is that so expensive that that's too high of a risk to convert to or not? So how do we offset those costs? So that's those are my thoughts.
Well, I think you have to go back against the mentality of, well, it's you guys' responsibility to recycle, not mine.
Sure.
And so I think the message has to be focused on the individual's responsibility of that. If you want to recycle, be a responsible recycler.
Sure.
You know, I had people, well, it's a pizza box. I know, figure out how to recycle that, right? And so, you know, I think the focus needs to be on not only what your role is in the recycling, if you want to recycle, but what's the best bang for the buck, which is what you were getting at. But don't screw it up.
Yeah, wishful recycling doesn't help. Yeah, that's counterproductive.
I like that phrase. Oh.
One of the things that the WRRA has been pushing now for several years is truth in labeling.
Yes.
So that every container has, this can be recycled, this is garbage. This can be recycled, this is garbage.
So think about, how about, this can be recycled if clean.
You know?
Or, so, you know.
Right.
It's like milk bottles.
Sure.
How many people rinse them out?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Are the caps recyclable? Or is it just the bottle?
Just the bottle.
Exactly. So, you know,
you can't
crush it if you don't put the cap back on.
You know, one of the things in your, I love your idea. We have education as part of our SWAC plan.
Sure.
That's a big component of it. And I love these ideas. I think we ought to put that on for the next agenda. But I would like to see if we couldn't also get Franklin County, which I'm meeting with their board next week. We could make this a joint effort. So we're all kind of doing the same thing. So the message is consistent in the Tri-City area.
Sure.
I think, but we also have to look at getting the school districts involved, because it's a kids zone drive if there is. And, you know, I'm thinking in terms of a recycle game, something of that nature for the young kids, you know, get it right, get it wrong.
I also think, Tammy, I'm still pushing for QR codes when you go to the drop boxes and you say, can I do this or can't I? And you put in, can I take my styrofoam cups and put them in there? Oh, crap, it's crazy.
Is there an app for that?
No, but there needs to be. So, but
there, we have apps elsewhere. We've developed them for Spokane area, Snohomish. I'm not sure if we have one in King County, but we've developed apps. It's Cartwise.
Oh, yeah. So they're right there. Yeah.
I had a thought about what Martin was saying, and he's looking at it from maybe the recycling and the markets point of view, but I'm thinking as a consumer, I don't often think about what can be recycled, but
right.
I think about, what am I buying that I could change? Like, I don't buy milk in a milk jug anymore because it's plastic and it's harder to recycle. So I'm using a carton and I'm paying more, but I mean, people will make different decisions about buying, not thinking about even, can this go in my bin?
Sure.
What if I don't even buy it? Because, you know, now glass is hard, I buy more canned things.
Sure.
So those kind of decisions could be made from a consumer point of view.
Yeah, I think
what you're saying is, I guess my motto is, we can only recycle what we can sort. And we sort at the material recovery facilities. So it really depends on where your materials are going. And at least in Kennewick, the materials are going to the Spokane Material Recovery Facility. And we don't take milk cartons, we take milk jugs. So it might be good for us to look at, you know, for all the haulers, where's the what MRF are we using and what material, where do we find the consistency and continuity and focus on the materials that everybody can take and we know is going to a market somewhere and being recycled? If there's other extraneous materials, great. That's a different campaign, perhaps. So we can get out of some of this confusion. Because Richard brought up pizza boxes. Well, for years, we've told people don't put pizza boxes in the recycle cart. In areas that have composting, we've suggested put it there. Now, at least our MRFs will take pizza boxes. So we're having a whole group of meetings on how do we tell the public we can take pizza boxes, you know, because for years we've told people not to. So it's a real, education is a real challenge. And anytime we take away or add a material, we have to be super careful because it becomes gospel or it doesn't. So, yep.
Yeah, I think that's really important. We're not going to recycle household carpet anytime soon. But cardboard, probably pretty high on the list. How do we do that right in this community?
Don't put styrofoam with it.
How do we, yeah. What are the things that we want to try and get the most benefit out of soon? And as the market changes or as materials change or maybe technology for recycling or the material that the containers are made of, as that changes, then we'll have to shift. And in my mind, this directly rolls over into the handling of either food waste or yard waste. And in my mind, it's the exact same topic, just a different flavor. Because recycling rates are low, people don't recycle a lot. The percentage of people that recycle in this community is not high. Participation in food waste management or yard waste management won't necessarily be high. Maybe yard waste, but maybe not food. I don't know exactly where we're going to be, but the idea of putting food into a plastic container in the sun in the 102 degree temperature, 110 degree temperature, leaving it there for a week or two, and then moving it out to the curbside to get blown over the wind, doesn't resonate well with me. And so I can see that there'll be a fair amount of the community that will be that way. So if we get forced into the box where we have to do that, I think we need to figure out how we're going to get there. So maybe we can come up with a way of moving through recycling before these other mandates show up. Maybe we'll get good at that.
Well, unless Richland's willing to let us join their party composting, we don't have plans to develop a local compost facility. I don't know if Basin does, maybe DTG does, but it's, you know, it's as bad as siting a transfer station. It's smelly. So, you know, what public property can we put it on? Maybe the city wants to build a compost facility. I don't know. But
actually, Richland just took proposals for somebody to do a study. So
yeah, they're trying to figure out how close are they to being drawn into the state's composting requirements. Are they for sure going to be drawn right into it? They're going to be a leader in the area, whether they want to be or not. Maybe they want to be, maybe they don't know, but, or are they a ways away? They really want to understand how close they are to that requirement. It'd be interesting to see what those results are.
Yeah.
We'll all kind of benefit from that, I think.
I was hoping they were also going to look at capacity and whether, you know, the other municipalities could join or not. And I don't know, you know, what Kennewick or anybody else, if you want to be part of that or, you know, or not. I'm guessing you could influence that decision.
Pasco has the anaerobic digester. Mm-hmm. And so now that they built it for their food processing facilities that already exist, but now to maximize the benefit, they need more input. And I don't know if we're asking the wrong questions of commercial enterprise, but it's very hard to get data about how much do you have and do you want to divert it? I mean,
sure.
And so I don't know if those are all, what is it called? Proprietary numbers, but it's
not really. Some are.
It's just really been hard to get. So do you have enough stuff to justify building a compost facility or don't you? Or is it all going to anaerobic digestion? If so, that's great. Does it need to be depacked or not, you know, it's just been hard to
get. I know we have no facilities with compost, and we did have a composting facility at our Pasco plant that we never used. Just kept the permit just in case we ever needed it. Had the piping, everything there, but we never really composted there.
Was it big enough for a regional program?
No, it was not. And actually, it's going to be taken over because we are actually going to be building a digester at Pasco, because Pasco really has no waste treatment for our stuff. You know, Richland, we have an anaerobic digester there, similar to what they have at the city of Pasco for their food processors, because we actually looked at potentially taking ours to theirs from Pasco or building our own. And we'll probably just build our own instead of worrying about getting in with somebody else.
Okay.
So,
yeah, we are a small one for the wineries. So, we just protect our sewage.
Yeah.
Pasco's initial discussion about their facility, they mentioned that they might have a need to take some material, but it was a small amount, and it was through a portion of a year. So it's not something we could build a city or area-wide program around.
And their number one objective is to make sure Derigold works 365 days a year. So everything would be secondary to Derigold, which is also problematic if you're a city.
Well, and to some extent, depends on where your discharge is as far as liquid and DS permit. Maybe may actually keep you from taking things from out of your jurisdiction, because that's what's in the permit. And I think that's where we are. We've looked at taking some wine waste from the county, and we can't do that because our discharge will end up in the Yakima, which is dedicated to West Richland.
If I could suggest, so we've been here for a half hour, and we still have some bigger issues to look at, or more. So I think we've got an agenda for next meeting, but if we could continue on.
Thank you, Chuck, for watching the clock. Okay, so we have a public citizen application. Jackie?
Yes, so what guys discussed last time, having applications, and the only one we got so far was from Cindy. Okay, so I don't know. I emailed it to everybody. I don't know what you want to do from there. Because it was discussed reading through them and picking someone.
Remind me, Cindy is not officially on at this point in time.
Right.
She is. Okay, so she doesn't have a timeline that she's off the board by a certain time. I say if we have no other interest, and Cindy's been here every single time.
Yay, Cindy. You won.
Yay, Cindy. Promotion, or how would you do this?
I don't think so. I just have to put it into a resolution to the board.
Well, yeah, it's okay. Board or to the county commission.
Yeah. But,
okay. Congratulations.
So, well, I'll make a motion that we forward her name to the county commissioners.
And I'll second it up to, we can vote on it.
Okay. All those in favor of forwarding Cindy's name on to the county commissioners?
Aye.
Please say aye. Anybody opposed, say nay. Okay. Thank you. That's nicely done. Thanks. Very appreciated. Location for the fall HHW event. Suggestions? I've heard there's a lot of pent-up demand, so...
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it.
Okay, so we're having issues finding a good location to hold the fall event. The fairgrounds location is pretty booked, so Matt suggested that I bring it up in the meeting to see if anybody here has any suggestions on where we could hold an event.
The big backyard.
What about the racetrack?
Well, not here, because that causes huge backups all the way down the street.
What about the racetrack in West Richland?
That was the only thing that came to my mind, but that would be, the city doesn't control it.
Mm.
So we would have to talk with the operator.
Okay.
And I mean, they have probably wouldn't be a huge issue to do it out on the parking lot area of the racetrack, but I don't know what their schedule is and that type of stuff.
What about the parking lot in Ridgeland's City Hall? That's pretty big.
I vote for it.
No, but that's all. That parking lot is actually federal. That's the federal.
Well, forget that then.
Well, but so explain to me again, what is the HHW event per se?
The household hazardous waste.
So
oil to paint.
It's, I mean, we could run it on a Saturday. The Fed shed is pretty empty.
I know, but you have to get their permission.
Yeah. But also, can we just use the same way we had done it at the medium hazardous waste facility? I mean, it eats up some road, but it's a weekend. I guess I don't see that would be my number two pick. If you can't use the fairgrounds, use the hazard.
In my
opinion.
Yeah. That'd be great because then people could see what's coming and kind of the location of your future donations can be made.
Traffic control would be a challenge. Mm-hmm. It's not designed to have an event where you have 100 people come.
Yeah.
There is no queuing length. There's be blocking the traffic. It's people trying to go up that road.
You know, so no, great. Okay.
I mean, you guys own the road.
Yeah, if we want to look at that, we definitely have to evaluate how to queue
traffic control and be a lot more involved in what we do at the fair. Because at the fair, you get people out of the road into the parking lot. Mm-hmm. At Ely, there is no room.
Yeah. Is there a way to break it up by city? Like, more than one Saturday is what I'm thinking of. Kennewick does it one, Richland does one.
Well, that's cool.
Christy, just from your experience, but we set it up at a school, like one of the high schools.
It depends. You'd have to look at the roads coming in and what it looks like without knowing that from the size of the parking lot.
I'm thinking like either Southridge or, because that's kind of...
Well, negotiate school districts.
Yeah, but I mean that... What I'm hearing is the one place that really works well is not available. The place we had done it before, it wasn't a good fit. So if we have to go, I mean, I guess when we say negotiate, what are we asking? Or just calling up and saying, can we use your parking lot?
For a hazardous waste collection event.
I mean, that's well, for a household hazardous waste collection event. And I don't know, can the county actually set up a temporary collection place? I mean, Rich got a good point. If we collect 1,500 gallons of paint and it's still there Monday, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So we've done it in the fall in Kennewick, and that's not a good idea either. That's a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
We've done it in other places, but
maybe something like Edgar Brown Stadium or
but Edgar Brown Stadium's in
Franklin County. Yeah.
So you get Franklin County residents coming. Thank
already,
you, Benton County.
You already do. Send them away.
But so
let me ask a question. Is there much of a difference between the items you're going to drop off at the household waste event and when the MRWF is fully operational, is it the same stuff?
Yes.
Then do we need a fall event?
Yes, because the MRW facility is what, 2 years behind schedule? 3 years behind schedule?
Well, I mean, I guess my question is, are we still going, will it be open by the fall?
I have a big spiel from Matt, and that's the goal, but we can't guarantee it.
Yeah, but we can't. We probably need to get the backlog off before.
That's the
getting
idea.
Calls. Yeah. And I will tell you, the public from the cities, I'm getting a lot of calls from Benton going, where do we take this? So I don't think you can wait for something, because Matt thought last year we'd be open, and we're not. And I'm not faulting Matt. I'm just saying...
He's not here, so you can.
I'm with you.
I would hate to depend on it being open in the fall and have it happen again.
Well, let me talk to the city manager. Maybe we could by Kennewick City Hall, where the old school building used to be, and that got torn down, so we're using it as a parking lot. We've had swap meets out there, that kind of stuff. It's not a lot of space, but it might be enough. The other option is break it up, not by material, but by, if you're in Southridge area, go to the high school. If you're in downtown Kennewick, go to City Hall. If you're from out of town, go to the waste management facility or whatever it may be, right? Which seems complicated to me.
Well, the other thing, I just got a call to sign checks, but they have a possibility of mosquito control. And while traffic, they'll do the tire drive there. Maybe we could do it there. I'll talk with Angela this afternoon.
So there are some long roads.
I mean, in back of Van Giesen.
Yeah.
But they can pull in and in their parking lot have people ride through. And then there's a large, somewhat gravel area. But we might, you know, possibly we could eliminate some of the front queue by getting a subscription. You got this time period.
Yeah.
You sign up for a time period. You know, I don't know if that's possible.
Have we ever used the landfill in Richmond?
Oh, that's a terrible place.
Okay, I don't know. I'm just asking.
The road isn't.
Oh, okay.
We're all improved.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, because I don't think.
And then,
back up onto the highways, that's not a good.
Is there any scheduling around Benton County events? I mean, is there, if we push it out 3 weeks, then the fairground is open, or if we pull it in?
They booked.
Yeah. They were pretty much booked all the way every weekend through November.
What about the convention center? They have a huge, are they, I don't know what they're, are they at weekend events?
Toyota Center.
Yeah.
And that,
you know, it's worth looking at, but I don't know. Yeah, we have to look and see.
That or the car lots that have all their cars up in track and they empty out their lots.
Well, usually you do the small quantity generators the day before, correct?
Yeah, those are by appointment only.
So, Christine, what would be really helpful before we go asking a lot of permissions is how many cars show up?
500.
That is a good number.
Average. Okay. 3 to 500.
And that's over a 5 hour period?
Yeah, so we haven't had one in a while, so expect a high number. Expect in the 500s.
Okay. But what was the time frame would we operate this from? Like,
given the afternoon in the morning?
Five or
earlier? No. Usually we started at 8.
8.
But, you know, 9 works too. 9 to 3.
9 to 3, okay.
Gives them time to set up.
Columbia Park has a lot of straight road to queue in, but the Corps of Engineers we'd have to get approval from them.
No, if we just route them through the little kids stuff, you know. We can train them to recycle at the same time. And
okay, so people are going to keep sending ideas to Jackie, and you're going to send us information about what we're asking for? Is 500 cars enough to, and it's how many days event? Like it's a 1 day event, it's all picked up, or it's going to be left over on Monday? I didn't quite catch that.
The tent sometimes,
yeah, usually
pick it up, but usually it's later, right?
Yeah, they won't. So the tent, the toilets, all of that usually stays there, and the garbage pretty much all there till Monday.
Okay.
If the event's on a Friday or Saturday,
okay. All weekend. Got it.
Are you still planning to use Clean Harbors to do the event, or
no? It's ACT.
ACT.
Are you having better luck?
So does it have to be a secure area if you're going to leave all that stuff over the weekend?
No, the only thing that they leave behind is recyclable cardboard and just plastic. No hazardous waste is left behind. That's all shipped out. So just regular trash.
Okay, so depending on where it is, I mean, maybe we provide some kind of container so we can get it out of there. Because you don't, I guess I would be concerned about people knowing where it's at and just starting to dump a bunch of other stuff there. I don't know, just a thought.
You're a very cynical person, Sammy.
I'm sorry. I've seen that fire start in City Hall parking lots because we had a dump there. Not here, but somewhere else. So this is called experience.
Okay. Tell us about the update for the municipal waste facility. Give us hope.
Matt apologized for not being here, but he's in a solid waste conference, so he's learning. What is it? Legislative updates?
Mm-hmm. So. Well, he's at the Washington Association of Solid Waste Directors, which is related to the Washington Association of County something or other.
Very good. That. So I've been kind of out of the solid waste, so I have a short letter from Matt. I'll read it to you. As the SWAC is aware, the reconstruction of the county's maintenance shop at 1709 South Ely Street and conversion to the Benton County Moderate Risk Waste Facility was completed on September 12, 2023. And upon completion of the project, Benton County worked with Benton Franklin Health District and the Washington State Department of Ecology to permit the facility. During their evaluation of the facility, it was determined that additional ventilation measures would be necessary prior to open the MRWF. Due to this information, Benton County immediately hired an architectural firm for the design of the additional ventilation measures. The project for upgrades to the ventilation system at the MRWF was put out to bid, awarded, and the county has contracted with Apollo to complete the work at the MRWF. The project consists of electrical, including a new panel board and a 30 kilovolt transformer, flammable gas sensors and flammable detector, structural framing, concrete and HVAC, including exhaust fans and makeup air unit. Staff are participating in a pre-construction conference with Apollo later today. Okay. And we will have a clear understanding of their timeline, which will forward on to the SWAC. So when they say that the pre-construction, that would be facilities? Robert? Based on our discussion with Apollo, we anticipate that the work will be completed by the fourth quarter of this year, 2024. We are hopeful that the work will be completed sooner, but we are unable to predict the lead times for ordering and receiving the necessary equipment. Once we have a good understanding of the schedule for the opening, we will plan and schedule a countywide collection event for 2024 prior to said opening. We'll also use this event as an opportunity to advertise the opening. We apologize that we are unable to be at today's meeting as we are attending the Washington State Association of County Solid Waste Managers meeting conference. Once we return, we can provide the SWAC with a more in-depth update. Should anyone have specific questions they would like answered, please email them to us. Thank you, Matt Mahoney.
So back in December, I talked, I think, real briefly about doing the lessons learned.
And you sent a nice list.
And I'm going to send that out again to Rebecca and Jackie, and you guys can forward it on. Because this is not slamming anybody, pointing fingers, but I would like to see, how did we go so far awry from our original schedule, our original cost? What didn't we look at? What should we be looking at in the future? Not just us, but any entity that tries to do this. if there's, you know, if everybody is quiet about whoops issues, nobody learns anything. So some of the stuff was like, what was the original cost and schedule estimates? How many times did the schedule slip? Was there a significant, a single issue that was out there that we didn't know? How did critical path change? What were the impacts on city codes, procedures? What were things we had to institute that we didn't know we had to institute? What are the current single point failures? I mean, if this electrical panel burns out, is that it? We are wiped out until another new one? Because electrical panels are hard to get right now. We're spending $4 million for the convention center to buy some electrical panels in part. Yeah, we're also to the parking lot, so good luck. You can park, you won't be able to see it though. So emergency requirements, blah, blah, blah. So there's a little punch list of things. I'll send that to you, Jackie. And I really do think for future type stuff, we really need to understand why we're so far behind. And maybe I'm being too harsh on this. Maybe it's too Hanford, and I'm willing to, get any kind of feedback on it that anyone wants to provide.
Well, I also think that cities and counties put out RFPs, and they are required to take the cheapest responsible bid.
Right.
Well, the responsive bid has to have expertise, and I don't think this one did. I think the people that built this did not have any expertise.
Meyer Engineering is just nothing personal. HDR and Meyer blew this.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I mean, I tried to fix it, and I was ignored.
There were comments provided to the engineer.
Yeah.
There were some questions about, A, is...
Well, and that's something we need to know about. You know, was the RFP specific enough in the criteria we needed to have answered? You know, and maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Maybe Myers just kind of, well, yeah, we're experts because we got a bachelor's degree. Therefore, I'm an expert.
Like a PE license.
Yeah. And I think those are the kind of things we really need to understand is where did the process go so wrong? Because honestly, this is not atypical. I think most entities of any size have run into this. I mean, Rich and I at Hanford watch millions of dollars go down the drain because somebody forgot to convert from metric to inches.
But the facility was poorly designed, but some of this is coming back with the aspect that we will bulk some of the flammables, and that's a separate, that's part of this. But the design was, why they thought they had it, because they didn't have spacing,
they weren't experts.
They weren't, they didn't know how to handle a hazardous waste facility.
Is there any recourse the county can take related to the RFP, or is anyone pursuing that?
I mean, I believe the key comes down to is we needed probably the RFP originally didn't have specific qualifications specified.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Well, and we're building this for the first time, so we don't know what questions we need to ask, in my mind.
Well, no, qualifications of the contractor.
Right.
Of the design engineer, of the designer.
Right. But what I'm saying, Rich, is we may not have known that we needed to ask for those qualifications specifically in a certain way.
We weren't involved as a SWAC.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, somebody like you, you come from a weird background, right? How many SWACs have
somebody that.
An authorization basis guy, right?
Well, I mean, they can write the freaking permit. It's just simply it was a happening that
happened.
Well, and so I'm not quite sure we're going to get much of a lesson learned. And it's not going to help the SWAT.
It's not going to help us.
It may help the county.
It may help
Franklin County.
Franklin County.
And it's provided to, like, Tammy with waste management, with other constituents that are doing SWACs or that kind of stuff, that kind of information could be helpful to them. I mean, it's too late for us. The wheel fell off the car and we replaced the wheel. But
and half the car.
Yeah. But I think from a wider perspective, and I think it's going to be the same thing with the composting issues that come up, right?
Right.
So we're going to get smart how to do composting.
Well, I mean, you need a design review. That's really what it comes down to.
Oh. Okay, using your clock, 4 minutes left. We have to vote on a secretary. Anybody want to volunteer for the secretary?
I volunteer.
Martin or Chuck?
Chuck.
You're putting this general direction.
Any volunteers can work.
Okay.
Sure, I'll do that.
Okay,
I think Martin was secretary once.
Where's Chuck?
Yes.
We have a nomination. Are there any other nominations?
Maybe longer.
Any other volunteers? All those in favor of voting in Chuck Torelli as secretary of this organization, say aye.
I nominate.
Anybody opposed, say nay. Congratulations, Chuck.
You've been
here to talk to staff about this.
Okay.
I'll help.
3 minutes left. Anything else for the good of the order? Anything from the people online?
The light bulb question, did we decide?
Where is the light bulb question? Did they come and talk to Matt? I think Matt sent an email to me and said, yes, he thought this would be the MRW facility would be the place to house this. Tammy, do you have these light recycle people in your place?
It contacted us, and our preference would not be to not add them. I'm not saying we wouldn't, but the MRW facility sounds great.
Well, I mean, having managed a whole lot of fluorescent light bulbs in my day, the fear is you drop one, now you got the mercury spill, quote unquote. I'm not quite sure how many we're going to get. The green tip ones don't have to be recycled.
Okay.
And could be trashed, but it's the little compact ones that have the high mercury. Most of the fluorescents that are out in space are currently not hazardous waste, but we can work with them.
Well, as I understand it, so we also talked to paint people. They're all set up. Benton County signed up. Yep, you can use the MRW facility, but they can't do it because it's not operational. So this, I'm assuming we're going to run into the same problem with the light people.
I'm still thinking, I'm hoping for the MRW facility, we can dedicate some of the non-haz bays, those open bays on the end for those operations.
Their requirements are they have to be out of the elements. They have to be covered, but there's no, and you have to, if there's a breakage, you have to have some way of containing the mercury, so you do have that problem. I don't know what their other requirements are. I can't remember.
No, but we have three bays,
right?
And so
I think that's, from what I've heard, they are planning on using.
Are they? Okay.
But we can ask Mahoney to give you guys a statement.
I mean, I don't want to manage it with the hazardous waste aspects.
We also have a mail-in program. I can bring that information to the next meeting. We, people call and ask for a box, pay whatever it is, the amount, and they can mail them in themselves. So
yeah, but
there is an option.
The 4-foot light bulbs or 8, I mean, what's going to get you is when somebody brings an 8-foot fluorescent light tube.
We do the 8-footers and the 4-footers and everything at the plant. We get actually boxes, I think, from Veolia. We just put them in the boxes, ship them off, and
you still have the hazardous ones.
There's not. We've pretty much gone through everything and got rid of them.
Yeah. So you got the green ones, you don't have to recycle.
Yeah, we just start growing. We always err on cautious, just in case, we'll just send them off anyway. So take them out of the facility and do it.
Well, I mean, if you're a big facility and you can certify them all green, you can start crushing them, and then
yeah,
that would.
And if we have a big retrofit, we'll usually have a third party come in to take care of them for us. But throughout the plant, when we're electricians or changing things, we just use the mail in, send everything out. It's a lot easier.
Good to know. I have another meeting starting right now. So is there anything else for the good of the order? This meeting is adjourned. See you guys in our next quarter. Bring your best education ideas.
All right.
And always a pleasure to see you guys.
How many parking might be all about?
Let's see what quite a bit of us.
Challenge. But the best, though.